You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Thank you, friends, for joining me this afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:30 every Tuesday and Friday afternoon. This is The Father's Quilt, and I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Thanks so much for joining us and spending a half an hour together. Well, brothers and sisters, we have finally come to the holiest week of the year, and let's begin with a little prayer, all right? So this is a prayer before a crucifix. So if you're in front of a crucifix, that would be lovely. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, look down upon me, good and gentle Jesus, while before thy face I humbly kneel, and with burning soul pray and beseech thee to fix deep in my heart lively sentiments of faith, hope, and charity, true contrition for my sins, and a firm purpose of amendment, while I contemplate with great love and tender pity the five wounds, your five wounds, pondering over them within me, and calling to mind the words which David thy prophet said of thee, My Jesus, they have pierced my hands and my feet, they have numbered all my bones. Amen. Well, my friends, this is the week that gives us all our suffering and sacrifices through the Lenten journey that we've been on together, meaning and value. In our worship this week, we remember Jesus being welcomed with palm branches, flipping over tables in the temple, being betrayed by a friend, instituting the Eucharist, saying goodbye to his closest friends, praying so hard he bleeds, and finally defeating sin and death by his cross and resurrection. There is so much to encounter and process this week, and you can be part of it each step of the way. It can be intimidating, but the beauty of this week is that Christ and his church, that's you and I, invite us not just to read about things that happened long ago, but to walk alongside Jesus and experience each moment with him. The events we commemorate this week happened thousands of years ago in the Middle East, but this week they echo across time and fill us with new life. During Holy Week, we die with Christ so that on Easter Sunday, we can rise anew with him. Do this in memory of him. My friends, this coming week, as we approach the great mystery of Christ's death and resurrection, we are coming to the end of our Lenten journey. It's been a time to both look back and reflect, and to look forward and prepare. Holy Week is such a unique time in the church calendar where we are suddenly walking minute by minute with Jesus as he goes through his passion, death, and resurrection. So starting today that we've had Palm Sunday, we enter into Jesus' life in real time. The way God works in time during this week can really help us to enter into friendship with Jesus as we walk with him in his sufferings. So in order to stay focused during this week, it may help to ask ourselves, how can I love God more during this time? There are so many scriptures, so many beautiful traditions, and such deep mysteries surrounding us this week, all gifts that will help us draw closer to the Lord. The readings for Palm and Passion Sunday, they're the most dramatic of the whole year. They recount, of course, the entire story of Christ's death from Holy Thursday through Good Friday. One of the unusual aspects of this week's gospel reading is the one time during the year when all of us take part in proclaiming the word of God by participating in the gospel reading. In Christ's passion, there were saints and sinners, enemies and friends, and we can find ourselves in one of those categories. The gospel readings challenge us to consider areas of our own life in which we deny Christ. We might not see ourselves denying Christ three times in front of a crowd as Peter did, but we deny him in small ways through the little sins we commit each day. I can think of so many during the day that I commit, and I'm constantly, please, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on my soul. I am a sinner. And while there was only one Judas who sold our Lord for 30 pieces of silver, we might find ourselves in Judas' company when we reject Christ completely and turn our backs on him in mortal sin. On the other hand, the gospel reading also holds up beautiful models of love and fidelity. Mary Magdalene, John, our Blessed Mother, and the women who go to the tomb where Jesus is buried show us the most noble characteristics of a follower of Christ. So, which characters from the Passion narrative do you identify the most? On Palm Sunday, we stand for one of the longest gospel readings of the entire liturgical year. Here we read through two whole chapters of the Gospel of Mark that take us from early in Holy Week all the way to Jesus' burial. There's really so much to take in here as we contemplate the mystery and meaning of the redemption. The liturgical practice of hearing this reading read out loud by multiple lectors and participating by giving voice to some of the lines ourselves leads us into the mystery of Christ's passion. It is meant to be a powerful and transformative experience that help us to walk with Jesus in his suffering. Like the stations of the cross, in this gospel, we are meant to sit at the Last Supper with the apostles, stand at the foot of the cross with Mary. Here, our job is not merely to study or think, but to contemplate and stand in awe before the powerful love of our Savior. This long gospel reading through which we must stand also introduces us into the spiritual discipline of Holy Week, keeping our hearts and minds focused on the long and painful story in the midst of physical discomfort can help us share, even in just a small way, in the suffering of Christ. So this week, my friends, you might consider praying through the stations of the cross, either at home or at Mass, or just before Mass, or after Mass, or through the week. And while you are doing that, ask the Lord to reveal the mystery of his immense love to you as you contemplate his caring of the cross. I don't think, brothers and sisters, that I've done a rosary when I get to the carrying of the cross that I don't sit there and start weeping at that moment. And what runs through my mind is the Blessed Mother. of holding that precious little boy and nurturing him and feeding him and clothing him. And then all of a sudden, the one day that he's lost, they couldn't find him. There he was talking to the scribes and to the rabbis. And he was in the temple and he was talking as like a young man. He was just a mere child. And I think of him growing, being, you know, human, all the joys, falling down, maybe hurting his knee, you know, and eating and sleeping and growing. And then to see her son carrying this cross. And he's carrying it for you and I. That's why he's carrying the cross. And every time I go through that particular part in the Holy Rosary, or images, or if I come across, the tears they just come to my face, and I think of the agony and him holding it and dragging it, his own cross. Brothers and sisters, this week, just a little chart, point form. Make a list of moments when you felt pain, physical or spiritual or emotional. And maybe if you can't write it, just think about them. And then ask the Lord to heal you of any lingering sorrow or pain. Spend more time this week reading the daily Mass, right? Maybe watching the daily Mass, reading more Psalms, reading the Gospel of Luke, especially Luke 22 and 23, right? Here's a little tiny prayer. Jesus, allow us to walk with you as you carry your cross, so that we may learn how to carry our own and find new life in you. Amen. Yes, Palm Sunday is often bittersweet. While we join the Israelites in praising Christ as King, we know what is coming. We understand what it meant for Jesus to be our King, his death and resurrection. We rejoice because our King is coming, but we weep for what he is about to endure for our sake. What are the ways, my friends, that the Lord has been acting in your life during this Lent? What graces do you think he still has in store for you as you live this Holy Week? How can you prepare your heart to receive God's merciful love on Easter Sunday? Think about the graces and the themes that we've come across during this time with the Lord. But remember this, my friends. God loved you first. He loved all of us first. And you didn't have to do anything to earn that love. Have hope in what God has in store for you to do. There are many ways to prepare our hearts for Easter. Spend extra time in adoration, or if you can't get to Mass, in prayer, brothers and sisters, in prayer. And keep Jesus and what he had been doing at that time in mind throughout the day. So today we enter a crossroad as we prepare to journey with Christ in his passion. What does this day in all of its sorrow and joy teach us about the truth of Jesus' mission? How we look to him throughout this week? How can we grow deeper in friendship with him? You know, brothers and sisters, you can think of the many characters that took part in the passion, and you could actually divide them into the faithful and the unfaithful. So let's just go quick. The faithful, who are they? Right, the Blessed Mother. Mary, mother of James and Joseph. Mary Magdalene, Matthew, the saints, and of course, Jesus, right? Then you have the unfaithful. You have Judas, the soldiers, Barabbas, the crowd yelling to crucify Jesus, the two thieves, the centurion, and the wife of Pilate. Do you see yourself in one of these, on the faithful or the unfaithful? Or, as myself at times, I see myself on both of these lists. On both of these lists. You know, Isaiah was a faithful servant, and for this he suffered. And he continued to acknowledge the Lord's help as the cause of his ability to endure. Trusting God, he will take care of you, brothers and sisters. The similar pattern in the life of Christ, it reminds us of the suffering that Christ endured for us. Jesus accepted the humble condition of a slave. St. Paul's attitude in Philippians 3, verse 5, he describes his privileged position he had as a Jew, and he says he gave up everything for Christ. The Father rewards the humility of Christ by exalting him and making him Lord of his kingdom. Many have denied Jesus, like Peter, John, Mary at the foot of the cross, as if they were taking care of a sick child. Pilate, who cowardly judged, who feared the crowd's opinions. Let's think of our own self. When we've been cowardly fearing people's opinions more than standing up for what is right. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault, therefore I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, and all the angels and saints to pray for me to the Lord our God. Amen. Imagine that you're at the foot of the cross gazing up at our Lord. What are some of the practical things that you can do to keep in mind the passion events that are about to unfold? Here's one you could do, brothers and sisters. It's not difficult. Sometimes you hear people who have foul language. Speak up when you hear inappropriate language. Even if they say, it's just a joke. You can say, no, I find that uncomfortable. Please don't say those things in front of me. Maybe attending events through Holy Week. You know, we have the washing of the feet, the Holy Thursday, right? The Stations of the Cross, praying the Rosary. Maybe place a crucifix on your desk and make sure before you do that you have it blessed. Everything that you hang up that are with the Lord, a crucifix, our Blessed Mother's pictures, anything, pictures, statues, even rosaries, bracelets that have a cross, anything that have to do with our faith, have them blessed first. It only takes a moment to go into church and ask Father to bless them. Pray the Rosary, brothers and sisters. You know something, my friends? Jesus loved us beyond measure to give himself willingly to die for our sins. And we complete this love story by loving him in return. Some Jewish leaders, they hated Jesus because he urged them to repent and turn back to God. The Jews did not have the right to a man being killed without the approval of the Roman governor, and they had to take Jesus to Pilate. At the trial, they had no evidence of wrongdoing by Jesus, but they put enough pressure on Pilate that he finally agrees to have the soldiers kill Jesus. So I will leave that till Good Friday. Saint Joseph Escriva, who had a gift for getting to the heart of a matter, once wrote, "On this Palm Sunday, when our Lord begins the week which is so decisive for our salvation, let us put aside the more superficial aspects of the question and go right to the core, to what is really important. Look, what we have to try to do is to get to heaven. If we don't, nothing is worthwhile. Faithfulness to Christ's doctrine is absolutely essential to our getting to heaven. To be faithful is absolutely essential to striving doggedly against anything that blocks our way to eternal happiness." So let's think of those words and let the Holy Spirit speak to you today, this week. Holy Week is the most important time of the year. It should be a time when where we live very differently than usual. Stop what you are doing as much as you can and be with the Lord. But it can be so easy for us to get distracted by the busyness of life. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you how you can live your Holy Week in a way that focuses on our heavenly goal. Think of the barriers in your life that might distract you from Jesus. Are there any ways that you can think the Lord is calling you to live your life differently during this time? Brothers and sisters, we are all called to live our lives differently. Easter is a national holiday. It can be easy to celebrate as everyone else does. It kind of takes an intentional choice and to make time. It should take an intentional time. It should take an intentional time to enter into Easter prayerfully. So the famous passage from St. Paul describes the journey of the Son from the heights of divine grandeur to the lowliness of humanity through the suffering of the cross and back to glory with the Father. Paul essentially defines Jesus' story as V-shaped. He begins in glory, descends to humiliation, and then ascends back to glory. This is a great mystery of our faith. Jesus emptied himself and became fully human while remaining fully God, becoming truly one of us in order he might save us. Moreover, he voluntarily underwent death on our behalf, a terrifying, painful death on the cross, because he willingly embraced this downward trajectory of pain, suffering, and humiliation. God exalted him from the lowest place to the highest place, granting him the highest honor in all the universe. Ultimately, Jesus' act of self-emptying leads to his glorification over all. In imitation of Christ, who serves as the greatest example for our own behavior, we too are called to humble ourselves in service and love for others. If we imitate Christ in this, we will begin to look more and more like him. And we know that in the end, God will honor us as images of his Son. As Jesus says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Saint Teresa of Calcutta said these things: "I thirst for you. Yes, that is the only way even to begin to describe my love for you." This is from Saint Teresa of Calcutta. "I thirst for you. I thirst to love you and be loved by you. That is how precious you are to me. I thirst for you. Come to me, and I will fill your heart and heal your wounds. I will make you a new creation and give you peace, even in all your trials. I thirst for you. You must never doubt my mercy, my acceptance of you, my desire to forgive, my longing to bless you and live my life in you. I thirst for you. If you feel unimportant in the eyes of the world, that matters not at all. For me, there is no one any more important in the entire world than you. I thirst for you. Open to me. Come to me. Thirst for me. Give me your life, and I will prove to you how important you are to my heart. Brothers and sisters, such a beautiful, beautiful scripture, beautiful passage from Saint Teresa. I'd like to take away something today. I hope you all take away something today from today's broadcast. What touched your heart? You might want to share that with a friend or someone you trust. Or maybe something that touched your heart as a truth to live by, or even something that you didn't know before. These are the words we often hear, that we may not realize what they truly mean. The Paschal mystery is the mystery of Christ's life, death and resurrection and ascension. But how do we live it? When we are baptized, Jesus Christ comes and dwells within us and lives out his Paschal mystery in us through the sacraments. This is the journey of holiness. This is what it means to become more like Christ. As St. Paul says, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Living Holy Week well by following Jesus in his death and resurrection profoundly prepares us to live the Paschal mystery throughout our whole life. So consider where Jesus is calling you to die with him so that you might rise with him this Easter. Let us close our time together, my friends, with a part of a prayer attributed, as I just gave you, to Saint Teresa of Calcutta, whose spirituality was marked by the desire to quench the thirst of Jesus on the cross for our souls. The last one, I thirst for you, open to me, come to me, thirst for me, give me your life, and I will prove to you how important you are to my life. God bless you as we go through sharing and the joy of Passion Sunday and Holy Week. God bless you all. Thanks for joining me. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single